Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Pixelated Sausage Show. Hi. How are we all doing? I'm, of course, your host, Mark Kuznez. And today, I'll be talking about the video games, Star Wars, the Battlefront Collection, Classic Collection. Not the new collection, it's the Classic Collection. The Outlast Trials, the Mobius Machine, Dark Gems, Re:Turing, Master Maker 3D Ultimate, and Sunny Cafe. But before I get to all that I've been playing, some sad news. My watch band broke. It wasn't a super expensive watch band. I think in the $20 range, but I liked it. And it's broken, and now I need to get a new one. And that's not a super big hassle, but it's something I have to do, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to have a thing to do that I feel like, come on, did we really have to do this? But there's that. And that's the end of sad news with Mark Kuznez. Gaming-wise, I guess there was an article on Polygon with Phil Spencer talking about the industry and all that jazz. And one of the things that came out is how he really wants to see or would love to see an Xbox handheld. And I've heard people say that, I don't know if it came out in that or if it's a rumor or whatever, that they're working on making one or prototyping one, messing around with the idea, which I hope is true. I believe it would be true because it just makes sense. When you look at the success of the Switch and the Steam Deck, why wouldn't you want to do that? The success of those machines seems way more reliable and real than the flash-in-the-pan success of the Wii, or I wouldn't even say that VR has ever been that, so why Sony felt compelled to put out PlayStation VR 2 when they clearly had no intention of ever supporting it themselves? Beyond me. And it's clearly a failure, as they're ceasing production on new models as they're stockpiled with stuff that they haven't sold yet. But that's not surprising at all. They didn't really market it. Super expensive. I feel like I keep forgetting to enunciate one. What is the word? Not vowel. It's when we got the haikus. It's syllables. One of the syllables. And yeah, I'm assuming that other people who talk a lot for a living, I don't talk a lot for a living, I talk a lot for a hobby, but I'm assuming that anyone who does do a lot of talking in whatever form, for whatever reason, they're probably aware in the moment that they're doing this, they're doing that, but I am one who constantly feels compelled to mention it. Not out of fear that someone is going to leave a comment saying, did you not realize you kept doing this? But more so because I'm realizing it and it's bugging the shit out of me. So I just assume that it's bugging the shit out of everyone else. And if it's not, I'm going to mention it so that now they will be aware of it and it can bug the shit out of them with me, because I want to share my pain and my misery and waste everyone's time. And I'm also very, very good at going off tangents, because I don't even remember. I was either the handheld, that's what I was talking about, Xbox machine, the Xbox Surface, whatever the hell they end up calling or whatever, if it is a real thing. And VR, that was the offshoot, is PlayStation VR 2. That was just a mess. So expensive. You need a PS5. I said when it was first announced that if it were PC compatible right from the start, I know there have been talks, rumors about that coming to it, but if it was that way from the start, I highly, highly, highly would have considered it because by all accounts, it's an incredible device from a technical standpoint. It's very, very high quality. The lenses, the comfort, everything about it, the power of the headset and all that. So it sounds like a great device from a build quality and all of that. But in terms of support, I know people will say there's a very healthy library. A healthy library of what? Anything new? Anything super exclusive that's exciting? Any of the super big games? Is Alex on it? No. Metro's coming way too late. The Horizon game, nobody really cared about. It was pretty, but whatever. It was just another climbing game or some shit. They still, correct, have not ported over what many consider the best PlayStation VR 1 game, Astrobot Rescue Mission. To me, that tells you everything you need to know. A game that already existed for the previous headset that many consider to be the best game for it and one of the best games of that year, a fantastic, fantastic platformer. They never bothered doing whatever they needed to do. You would assume that it's not super complicated to get it working because the game's already built. They just need to figure out how to make it run. And the difference with PlayStation VR 1 to 2, the big difference, I think, is that VR 1 needed the camera to track you, and then the VR 2 has inside tracking or whatever it's called. But I don't know shit about VR. I think VR is neat. And I think there are very cool applications for it outside of gaming. But for gaming, it's something that is neat here and there, but I would never want it as a primary way of playing games. But whatever. It's a failure, and that is that. But I think with the handheld devices, especially these hybrid ones that you can play on a TV as well, because you can do that with the Steam Deck. I don't know how many people do that. I don't think the numbers are high for that. I think the Steam Deck, even with the Switch, I often hear many people talking about them being played handheld only. But I think with the Switch, because it's more of a family device, that when you're playing, of course, when you're playing multiplayer, you would presumably be playing on a TV, unless it's a multiplayer game where you're using multiple Switches. But also, I feel like, as fun as it is for kids to play something handheld, it's also fun for them to play it on the TV. But I don't know. I pretty much only play it on TV because got to do that to capture footage for it, for videos and whatnot. But if Xbox puts out a handheld, an official handheld, that is basically just the Series S but handheld, I will buy it immediately. 100%. The Steam Deck, having a Steam Deck, that is, in no way changes that trajectory. Because that, for me, has become my portable PS2, and then the Xbox would be the portable Xbox / Gems of War machine. Hey, I could play Gems of War everywhere. Great. God, I hope that game just... You know what? This is mean, and I don't actually mean it, but there are layoffs all over the place, studio closures. Why can't the Gems of War studio just close already? Just fucking... How? Come on. Can we... Everyone who plays the game, just stop buying anything in it. Don't purchase any more gem packs or any of that kind of stuff. Let's kill it. Let's kill it so they can't update it anymore. They can't add any more achievements. And then we can all go on with our lives. Let's... I need you to start a petition. I'm going to start a petition after I finish recording this episode. The Let's Kill Gems of War petition. I'm curious how well the game does. And what... I'd like to see what the community sizes are like platform-wise. I would assume that it's the most popular on mobile because it's such a mobile-friendly type of game. And my clan group, whatever, guild, that's what they're called, on the Xbox isn't the most active, and yet we're still ranked, I think, 112 or 13 overall. And they're probably only a handful of active members. Why they're there, I don't know. Ooh, getting a little sweaty in here. But then other than that news, I don't know what else there was. GTA 6 might be delayed. Cool. I mean, that's not cool, but all right. I always say this, or do I always say this? I may have said this once and never again, or even then I may have said it in my head and forgot to say it on the show. If you ever have any, one, hand it all the time. If you ever have any follow-up questions to stuff I talk about that you specifically want to hear me talk about in podcast form and would like to hear me talk about in the following episode, whether it's about a game I talk about now or some news story that pops up that I didn't touch upon, whatever, leave a comment on the video, on the YouTubes, and I will answer it next week. So, if there is ever any news that I don't touch upon because I either missed it or I just never remember to talk about news because I think, it's by the time I talk about it, it's not new. It's old. Do you really want the old? But if you do, comments next week. But that's pretty much it. A fun little bonus that I finally did for the Patreon, and you can get it if you want by joining the All You Can Oatmeal tier, is I talked about the movie Real Genius starring Val Kilmer, which I finally watched. And did I enjoy it? Didn't I enjoy it? Who's to say? I had a very strong feeling about at least one thing, and you can get a tease of that by going over to patreon.com/pxs. You get a 29-second clip of what about that movie specifically bothers the shit out of me and bothered me all this time and was the maybe main reason why I never watched up until this point. But for full thoughts, you'll have to join the Patreon. Oh, fuck. Anywho, that's enough about all that. So, let us get on to what I've been playing. The question to you, this is maybe for Lunchbox specifically, because I know Lunchbox was a big watch person, and now he just sticks with his one, smartwatches, that's what we call them? That felt weird, thinking, or calling them that, but like the Garmin stuff, Apple Watch. Is that what we call them? Smartwatches? Fitness watches? I guess smartwatches. I don't like it. I don't like... Whatever. The watch stuff. If I were to get a more expensive band, and it has to be leather. I don't like the metal shit. Because the thing with metal bands is that unless you get it to fit just right, the weight of it, one, and then it loose, being loose on your wrist, I don't like it. I don't like it. It has to be a perfect fit, and I don't want to, I feel like it would cost enough to fucking get a custom one made. I don't want to deal with that. But with leather bands, if I got a nice one, for instance, I don't know how much it costs. And of course, the $20 one is not real leather or whatever. It's fucking whatever the hell it is. But if I paid a premium for a leather, faux leather, whatever band are the ones that don't break, because the way it broke is the not the strap with all the holes on it, but the one that has the little metal. I'm sure it's not even fucking real metal. But where's the camera? That part, the like little leather flap that held it in place, it seems like it was held down with some kind of adhesive, and that adhesive just wore out. Because the band is probably it lived a long time. It could be 5 years old at this point, so it's not like I didn't get a lot for my $20, and I don't even remember it was $20, but I think it was in that range. But if I paid a premium, could I get a band that would last forever and I never have to worry about this shit again? Because if I can, tell me. But enough of all that nonsense already, okay? Let us get on to what I've been playing, starting with Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection. Of course, this was in the news when it officially released, or when it first released, because of all the server issues, where there were supposedly only 3 servers that could allot for 60 players each, or in that range. I guess it would be 64 probably. So you have roughly 190 slots for a game that you would assume would sell more than that many copies. And I can't remember what other potential issues the game, the collection that is, had, because people who only played it single player, or I guess local in co-op or whatever, didn't have an issue with it. But in my experience with it, and being in a place where I do have, and I own them, so I have access to the original Xbox versions via backward compatibility on my Series X, and I did go back and forth, the visuals of the Classic Collection are cleaner, and it does look nice for it being a PS2 Xbox era game. But the problem I had with it, because I did jump into a few online games and everything was fine for me in those few instances, but it could have just been the time of day that I've been playing. But I would like to think that they fixed that relatively quickly, and all of that is not of concern. But what is of concern, why I enjoyed playing the original Xbox version more, is that there's just something about the aiming, the feel of the game in general on or in the Classic Collection that feels off. It feels herky-jerky in a way that's super uncomfortable. And one of the things I would highly recommend doing is turning off the auto-aim in either version. If you have an Xbox and have access to the original versions, I would turn it off there too, because the auto-aim, I think it's called auto-aim, not aim assist, but it is very, very strong, and it will lock on to an enemy and just follow them. Even if you're trying to move the cursor, move your sights, your crosshairs to a different enemy, it really wants to stay on whatever it's currently tracking. And what makes that challenging too is that it is tracking, but it's always trailing behind. If a enemy is moving, that is. And it makes for an incredibly frustrating experience. So I would highly recommend turning that off. And I think with it off on the original versions, in the original versions, the game feels pretty good still to this day. It's dated, yes. Regardless of which version you would be playing, I think the way to enjoy these games, the ability to enjoy them, that is very nostalgic dependent. So, Sonny, you know, you can just fuck off. We all know how you feel about nostalgia. Go play Star Wars Battlefront 2 2018 edition or whenever it came out in your brand new rocking chair, you freaking weirdo. But the classic collection feels better, feels a little bit better with auto aim off. But it still just feels off. I never really enjoyed playing it. It's nice that there are some ways in which the control or the controls are updated to make things like switching between first person and third person seamless. You can just push in, I think, the left analog stick since there's no sprinting in the game, which is a little weird. Any game that doesn't have sprinting, especially a shooter, it feels like it just feels weird because we've gotten to a point where every game has a sprint almost, so not having one just feels foreign, even though a lot of games didn't at a time. But in the original version, you would have to go into the menus to switch perspective. Stuff like that is nice. But it just doesn't feel right to play. And that is something that I'm not quite sure what is going on. Because it runs smooth. I am not technically proficient enough to really use my words to express why it feels off. I can only say it feels off. It doesn't feel smooth. It feels herky jerky, as I said earlier. I like the term herky jerky. Whereas the original version felt better. So, the main reason to get the Classic Collection, if you're on Xbox, would be to play online. But if that's not something you're interested in and just want to play them offline, then unless you want the slight visual upgrade, but it's not a huge upgrade, you can just get the original versions, because I think the original Xbox versions are $10 a piece. They could be $15. They've been on sale plenty of times, so you may already own them through that. They will probably go on sale again, but maybe they won't, because this Classic Collection exists now and they don't want to cannibalize that. But I think it's two different companies, so who cares? And they might be $15 each, but either way, cheaper than $40 for the collection, I think. So of course, with the collection, the collection is for two people. You want to play online, which seems okay from my little time with it now, or you want achievements. If you're not one of those two people, just play the originals, or better yet, don't play either, because if you don't have nostalgia for it, the new ones weren't bad. They were solid. And the second one that had all the microtransaction bullshit and whatever, they got rid of that relatively quickly, if my memory is correct, and made it a much better experience that people were happy with. So just do that, all right? Okay. But anyway, that is Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection. Next up is Outlast Trials, which is a multiplayer-focused game set in the Outlast world, which is a series where I've only played the first one, so I'm assuming that they're all this way. And you're just always a patient or something in some world, and then you wake up and things are fucked up and everyone's chasing you and trying to kill you, and it's awful because it's just a hide-and-seek game and I hate it. And this, you could be chased by monsters together. Oh, God. In a trial thing where I believe the opening suggests that you're a homeless person. You don't get taken. You see a flyer for something. And it's like, hey, you want some money? You want some shit? Come over here. And then you do it and you get bagged up in a very hard target type of way. And they implant you with some night vision goggles and some chess thing as well, and they're messing around with some tests and brainwashing and stuff of that nature, and are putting you through trials to see what you do in order to get your freedom back. And you have a bunch of different types of missions with a handful of objectives to do. And it feels, from what little I've played, all relatively samey and like something that would probably get old fast. Also very co-op dependent in terms of getting the most out of it and getting the most enjoyment out of it, because it is very simplistic and it's not going to give you what I would assume a lot of people want out of a single-player experience in the Outlast world. It's just these little bite-sized things where you go into a small area and you have a task. Go kill this person. Go collect this. Go do that. And it's just not my kind of game. And because I don't know anyone else who plays it, and the one time I played with strangers, they did not want to work together or do anything but F around, so that wasn't good. So that's not a good thing for me. But I think with a group of people I know, I could maybe find enjoyment out of it. And for me, I like the idea of this because being able to play with people I know would 100% really help with my babiness with games like this, where I get scared very, very easily and want to escape through turning off the console, quitting the game, whatever, very quickly, because I would have people there with me who can support me and keep me at ease and be there for me, help me out in situations. And you'd be able to do that both in terms of voice chat, but also with game mechanics, using distraction tools and other tools to help out a teammate who is maybe getting hunted at the moment. But I do think if you're into these types of games, it's worth checking out. Again, I don't know about the legs of it, but I really like the visual style. I think it looks pretty good. The lighting, the aesthetic, I like it. In playing it and the visuals of it and all of that, it really made me want to like it more than I do. It made me wish I wasn't such a baby with these types of games, because I like the setup for it, this whole trial thing that's going on, narratively speaking. I like the look of the game. It feels good. I think it's funny that in your little home base area where you can change your appearance and the decorations in your room, you go up to the mirror to change your appearance, but when you just look into the mirror and don't press the button to activate the menus for all that, you don't actually see what you look like. That seems like a weird oversight. Here, use the mirror to change your appearance. Then when you're finished doing it all, you back out of the menu and you're looking straight at the mirror, but you don't see anything. There's nothing there. Not even a very blurry image of yourself. And that seems like a big old fat loss, because I was excited to see myself in the mirror and then I saw nothing and I was very disappointed. But this is just another case of, you know, it's just not for me, but it could be if I had people to play with. And I wish I did. I got a code for it, and I don't know. Because there are instances where multiplayer-focused games I get codes for. They'll say, if you want some more codes for other people so you can play together, just ask. And I don't know if they asked with this. And I could have done that. But I also... Here's a question for some of the people who I'm buddy-buddy with. If I did that, would you actually play with me? That's another important factor. Because if I got the codes and like, yeah, I'll redeem it, and then they don't play with me, then it's just a waste of time. But that is the LS Trials. Mobius Machine is the game I enjoy the most this past week. It's a Metroidvania where you play as a space person who's on a alien planet, and you're just going around exploring it, and this base on there that's broken up into 7 sectors, and you're going from it, from sector to sector, exploring this world. There isn't a fast travel system, but there are ways of getting around the area quickly through these other sections of it that lead to shortcuts that you'll learn over time. It doles out upgrades pretty well, at least early on. I played it for about 2-3 hours, and I've gained a nice slide, which allows me to get over these blobs that will immediately break apart the second I touch them, because there are some that will break apart after about a second after you touch them, and then these ones that will break immediately, and the only way to get past them is to slide over them. I got this pickaxe that allows me to climb up rock walls, which is super fun. I've gotten some weapon upgrades, beaten the first boss, which was a decent challenge, and I think the game does provide a decent challenge overall. The way it controls is traditional platforming, but then you aim with the right stick and shoot with the right trigger, so it's twin stick shooter in that sense. But I really enjoy exploring this world, mainly because it feels so good to platform, and the shooting is solid. The shooting's not amazing, but just exploring the world, the feel of platforming is really good. There's no currently super unique mechanic to it, but it's tight, it's responsive, and the map design, level design is really solid as well. I like discovering new areas, finding shortcuts. The biggest knock I'd say put against it is that I think while the game looks good, I think it looks pretty good visually, the actual art style, the aesthetic, is rather bland and boring. A lot of the creatures I've experienced so far are just sort of variations on tentacles or tentacle-y things. If you love tentacles, oh boy, you're going to love the Mobius Machine. Unless you only like tentacles that wrap around your body and try to find their way inside all of your holes. So Sunny, again, not the game for you. But everyone else, worth checking out. I'm enjoying my time quite a bit with it. And I don't think another one of the mechanics with it is that the way you heal is through energy that you gain from killing enemies, or you'll heal fully when you go to save points. And there are two difficulty settings. There's a more hardcore mode where you'll lose all your progress between save points, or one where you will save the game at save points or anytime you quit the game. And when you die, you won't lose all of your resources and stuff like that. So it does have that as well for people who may be concerned about that nature that is common in a lot of Metroidvanias. That can be frustrating. I know I've experienced that. I think that's what ultimately made me stop playing Super Metroid when I tried playing it and really hated the wall jump and was convinced that the wall jump was going to be a significant part of the game, and that everyone tells me after I stopped playing, because I think I lost maybe an hour of progress or something stupid like that, that the wall jump is barely used at all and maybe potentially isn't even necessary for any kind of actual real progress. It's just sort of there to access. I don't know if it makes accessing certain areas easier or faster, or just allows you to reach places that you don't have to go to, but you can now with that, which seems like a weird thing to have that mechanic in there that then isn't important for anything. So I don't know if I really believe people, but I don't think they lie to me about that. So, and everyone says that. So it's not like one person said that and then I just believe them and haven't asked anyone else. But I've liked what I've played of the Mobius Machine, and I would recommend checking it out if you're a fan of Metroidvanias and would like a pretty solid one. That, again, the main knock against it would be going off of the whole bland, whatever, art style and creature design and stuff like that, is it just, it's not doing anything super unique, so it's not a game that really sticks out. Unless you do like that space vibe, but from, and it could get more wild and crazy as I explore more, but what I've experienced so far, it's fine from all that, but I just like playing it. It just feels good. That is again the Mobius Machine. Next up is Dark Gems, which is a super simple, short-ass game with not great visuals where you go into these mines, it's area-based, basically, and there are only three areas. The first area, you're going around, you're drilling these gems in a top-down type of grid-based, but free movement setup. And there will be these, are they blobs? These green little creatures will come after you in certain places. But you're just going through these little mining areas, mining ore and killing the enemies with your drill. There'll be little light collectibles to keep the light going. And you're just trying to collect as much currency as you can in these very short runs via drilling and killing enemies. And then when you die or run out of light, you go back to the main menu. And you could do another run, or you can go to the shop to upgrade your equipment, upgrade how much light you get per run, or unlock the more advanced areas. And that's all you're doing. And you could finish it all in 30 minutes, probably. I don't know exactly how long it took me, but I'd say 30 minutes or less, just like a nice old steaming pizza. 30 minutes or less. If it's over 30 minutes, Sonny, does that fall into nostalgia territory for pizza and then it's no longer good? Huh? But you just do that. And then the fourth area, which is the cruise area, that I thought was going to be one final thing that allowed me to do something, was just, hey, here's a fucking static image that says thanks for playing. And that's what gives you the final achievement. But it's enough. This is an example of it. All of Sometimes You games is do this, which I find a little annoying and frustrating. This one at least has a bundle package that you can get the Xbox One, Xbox Series, and Windows version together for $10, or individually they're all $5 a piece. I don't like selling separate versions. It just bugs me, especially from these smaller. I know why they do it. Because I'm assuming, I've never actually looked, but I'm assuming it's because they each give you individual achievement or trophy lists. So you can buy the series version and the Xbox One version and the PC version and get 3,000 achievement points instead of just 1,000 points for a version that plays on all those things. So I get what they're doing, because the games aren't that great and are there just for that. Because that is definitely, we all know there is that market, there is that subset of game development that they don't explicitly come out and say, we're really making games catering to the people who want them easy achievements that are either just so easy you don't have to look at anything, or hey, there'll be a guide right away that tells you Here's what you have to do. You don't even have to bother trying to play the game. Just load it up and follow this guide for 30 minutes and we're good. So I understand it, but it's also a little annoying. And it's especially annoying too when I play one of those games and they're not bad. And I think, I don't know what to think in those cases. Because that's been the case. Sometimes you has made some, or published, or made and published. Some, not all their games are just bad in here. Just played for this year. There's from East Asia stuff, from all of them. Rodolica. There are plenty of instances where the game is actually pretty good. It may not have a lot of content. You may be able to finish it regardless of whatever in a short amount of time, but it's just that the whole achievements, trophies, all of that, I'm a fan. That's probably the biggest reason why I became and stayed an Xbox fan, but also I do love the controller so much more than the PlayStation controller, any iteration of the PlayStation controller. DualSense, big improvement, yes, still best, prefer Xbox. But I feel like most of us can agree that overall, achievements and trophies, they were a bad thing. They were and are a bad thing. So, here we are. There might be an argument too that, but I don't think there are that many people who got back into gaming because of that, and without that they'd stop. But I could be wrong, but that is what it is. Anyway, that's Dark Gems. I got a code for both Xbox versions, but not the Windows version, so I gotta buy that one. I think it's still on sale for $4 instead of the $5. There's so many Windows versions of those types of games that I don't own, that I have a bookmark folder that I haven't been keeping updated, so there's probably so many games that aren't in there that I'm just keeping there for the time when I'm like, okay, let's waste a bunch of, I need to pay attention to sales for those, but it's just annoying. I just don't like that. Anyway, that is again Dark Gems. Re:Turing is a first person puzzle game that, when you first boot it up, at least on Xbox, and you're in this foresty area outside of this facility where you do all your puzzles, it runs like shit, and I was fucking super concerned because it's an ugly game, and that outside area is especially ugly. And inside, it's very clean. It's got that clean, kind of sterile facility, medical hospital type of aesthetic, which looks fine, but outside in the foresty area, it doesn't look that great. And it runs terrible, and I was concerned. But once you get inside, runs pretty well. And from what I've played, the first area, a lot of puzzles, or all the puzzles are related to colors and changing the colors on switches to open doors, raise platforms, activate switches. They modify it and complicate it by having systems where you have to set an order and say, when you hit this color, I want you to change it to this one, and then activate a little sequence to potentially, in some cases, activate multiple things in a specific order, and then things will be timer-based. Then the second area, they still have that mechanic, but they add on some blocks that will power things that you have to put into designated spaces. And it's solid. There's a hint system that I haven't used. There's typically a chair or somewhere to sit in an area that you sit down and you look at the area, and then it'll ask you, do you want a hint? I haven't needed one yet, so I don't know exactly how well the hint system is implemented. But it's a solid puzzle game. The puzzles are progressing at a nice rate in terms of challenge. And I'm curious what they're going to add in later areas to modify the whole thing. But if you like first-person puzzle games, seems like a decent one that will give you a few hours of enjoyment and worth checking out. And don't be scared off, because I think the key art is just some anime girl who is presumably the protagonist you're playing. There's not really much narrative there. There's occasional single lines of dialogue, but you're just going from room to room to room to room, completing puzzles. And then every now and again, you might do something where you activate a door on the ground, you fall through it, and somebody says, why would, or not someone, you say, why would someone put a door there? It's such a high drop. It wasn't that high of a drop. Calm down. And that's your narrative. But it's a solid first-person puzzle game. It is, again, Re:Turing. Next is Master Maker 3D Ultimate, a 3D platformer with a level creation system that looks terrible. The visual style is very, very bad. Don't like it. And then on top of that, the visuals are blown out. Tone down that exposure, buddy. It's not so bad that it's blinding, but it's not pleasant to look at. So, doesn't feel all that great. You can switch between more of a behind-the-back 3D perspective or over the top-down, slightly isometric view. Doesn't feel super good to control. The main way it's all level-based. 50 levels in the main campaign, if you want to call it that, which upon completion will unlock a bonus area that I think has 250 additional levels. I haven't done that because I don't like playing this game. But your main objective is to reach the end of the level while collecting these things. I don't remember what they were in the area, while having a wrench or some kind of tool, hammer maybe, that you can use to collect these things and take down the enemies in the area that works like a boomerang. And that's all you're doing. The level creation system is a little cumbersome. It's not super intuitive to use. And worst of all, though, is there's no online aspect, so you can't go online into a menu and search and play others' creations. So it's only creations that you, or if you're have multiple people in your household who play the game, other people who would create that they would create. So that's all there is. Though I also don't know if the creations are account locked, so that if someone's logged in and playing the game, I don't know if the creations are console locked or account locked, so that to play your creation, somebody would have to log in with your profile, which is probably how it works. And that would be another, oh, well, that kind of sucks. But one of the annoying things about that, regardless of every other issue I've already mentioned, is that when navigating the menu of level, and I'm guessing it would work this way on all the other menu systems and levels, especially if it works this way for the 250 level menu. Woo! But in the level creation one, you have 50 slots that you can put levels into. And I don't think you can get any more. But instead of when holding down on the D-pad or analog stick, it just continuously scrolling down the list, it just goes down one slot and that's it. So if you were at the top and you wanted to get to level 50 that you created, if you are a crazy person who's created 50 levels in this game, you'd have to press it 49 times. 1, 2, 3, 49 to get to your 50th level. That's insane. And if that is the way the menu works for the 250 level bonus area, imagine wanting to play level 250. Nope. Never going to happen. Never. I am not pressing down 249 times. But that is Master Maker 3D Ultimate. Don't play it. It's just not good. And then Sunny Cafe is the last game, and it's a visual novel. We all know how I feel about visual novels, and there's no difference here. But I will say, this is even kind of worse. You play a young man whose parents, I believe, own this cafe. They're out of town, so you're managing it currently. You're also a college student, I think. And you have the typical interactions. Oh, here's a girl you met, and now you ran into her when during the rain, and you bring her in, and then you connect, and she doesn't like coffee, but you're gonna show her that there's a lot of different types of coffees. She likes sweet stuff and fruity, flowery things. Okay, I'm gonna make you this light one that's got some brown sugar base to it, and it's got a bit of fruity sweetness to it as well. And she's like, oh my god, this coffee's so good, blah blah blah. But the problem I have with it, outside of my usual problems, where and you do a bit of the coffee making, and they have some mini games in there that are okay, but I wasn't in love with. And they give you some surface level information about various coffee things. I don't think it gets as deep as some people might want. I would like a bit more information, but it at least has something there. So that it's nice that there are these gameplay elements and that it is giving you some coffee information. But in addition to my usual thing with visual novels where they don't, it's called a visual novel. Utilize the visual side of that descriptor. But so many just write the story and deliver it in a traditional novel way. You don't fucking tell me all these things. Don't tell me this expression, this thing that's happening. Show me some of it. Utilize visuals. Have more than just one screen for 4 pages worth of dialogue and text. I know that it's because it's super easy to just have a few screens and then put in a lot of writing. It's a lot easier. Nothing against writing. I have a degree in writing that is fucking worthless, but I have a degree in writing. That is what I went to school for. And I also went to school for art. And I could tell you, writing is a lot easier than arching. Whether it's pen and ink, pastel, painting, whatever. It's a lot easier. A lot easier. Okay? Don't shoot the messenger. But it's just, come on. Pump up the visual. With a visual novel, either utilize the visual side of things or utilize the fact that you're a game and you could do super interesting things with that part of it, like a Doki Doki Literature Club or Slay the Princess to a point, but I forget what there's, I think, a more horror-y one that probably, and she has recommended me multiple times or told me, hey, you need to check this out. And I've never remembered to actually wish list it or anything. Just do more than taking a lot of text and then putting it on top of images that change every now and again. It just doesn't do much for me. And the biggest knock against this visual novel over others is that in addition to just doing the typical visual novel thing. I think what I've experienced after an hour and a half or so, character, story, all of that, it's just kind of boring and bland, and there's no real hook to it. Nothing super special that's really coming out of the story. It's just a generic story. It's a cup of black coffee with no sugar, no milk, no fancy little latte art. It's just, here's your black fucking coffee. And I would at least like it if you put some soy milk in it or something. But you won't even do that for me. And that is, what is a cafe? Sunny Cafe. But since it has sunny in the title, and you probably like coffee, this is the game that you should play of all the games, Sunny. It literally has your name in it. So with that, that will do it for this year's episode of the Pixelated Sausage Show. Once again, I am Mark Krishnas. Y'all can find me pretty much everywhere at PX Sausage. If you enjoy this here show or any of the stuff I do and what have you, I really hope. It's been a rough week in terms of my physical wellness, but I'm really hoping that I get out that first episode of Tat the Backlog for Ghost Recon Wildlands this week. I'm also wondering, do I put out just the audio version a little ahead of the time for Patreons and then still release the video version like I was doing on Sundays? And that gives me the weekend to just put that together and do the little, because it's not going to be a lot of work, but it gives me a little bit of extra time. So that might be the way I handle that. But I'm hoping to do that. But if you do enjoy this here show or any of the stuff I do and what have you, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs to support me and my nonsense. In addition to the Patreon, you can find links to the site, the Discord, the YouTubes, of course, and so much more over at pxsausage.com. But that is it. That is all. As always, thank you for watching or listening. I hope you enjoyed this here episode, and I hope you have both a wonderful rest of your day, a lovely rest of your week, and a wonderful weekend. But for now, adios. Arrivederci.